We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
This next mystery guest left the University of Southern California as the Trojans' all-time leader in pass completions. He played a decade in the NFL and Canada before joining ESPN in 1997. You might remember his debates with John Clayton on ESPN before debate shows became cool. He appeared in the 2005 comedy Benchwarmers and later went on to be a sports talk radio host. He currently spends his mornings breaking down the dumpster fire that is the Houston Texans. Ooh. Okay, mystery guest, reveal yourself.
I am the average quarterback, Sean Salisbury.
Oh, average quarterback.
Average and late Sean Salisbury.
you know what's crazy, guys? I swear to you, coming up in the elevator in the 617, I said, it's WEI, but why are they calling now? I thought it was 3 o'clock Sunday, and I'm thinking, these guys don't work on Sunday. What am I talking about? It's today. So I'm losing my mind, man. It's sorry about being late. I apologize.
Take a lap.
It's good to be with you guys. Right?
That's right. We deal with four. Yeah, he's gotten hit a few times in his life.
Yeah,
too,
there was so, a. You know. Yeah, I've been calling everybody the wrong name all day. I have no idea why it's happening.
There you go.
Well, Sean, everybody knows about your time at ESPN, and I did throw it out that you were one of the guys that came in and auditioned at WEEI. But give us your story from ESPN to where you are now.
And my audition for my audition was just a one-day, four-hour, and I had a blast. You guys do it well there, man. I enjoyed the hell out of it. I went from my stuff at ESPN, and then I'd been doing some stuff locally for Fox and CBS in Dallas, and then Houston, a boss hired me away from there, and I've been in Houston for the last 7 years and training quarterbacks all over the country. I host Morning Drive Radio on iHeartMedia in Houston on Sports Talk 790, and you know, do podcasts, and I'm also doing a nightly show in San Francisco at 95.7 The Game now, football hour. So
jeez,
that's what I've been doing, man. Just trying to stay on top of it and staying close. Yeah.
All right. So you're dialed in at the quarterback position. So I'm just, before I ask you the question, have you been paying attention to the Patriots and Cam Newton and, you know, his play so far?
Yeah, sure have. I try to watch them all. I try to tape them and watch as many games as I can.
Okay. Yep. So give me your brutally honest, your Sean Salisbury, unfiltered, brutally honest assessment of Cam Newton so far.
And I think part of it is that he's never going to be able to live up with what people expect when number 12 left. That's the hardest thing. Those shoes, even though he's a big dude, those are big shoes to fill. I think what you have is when he's hot early and feeling it and healthy and confident, you get a guy who's a big play guy that can take over a game. Still got that ability in it, but if you take him and make him one-dimensional, and I would, if it was me, the one dimension I would try to make is not allow him to get into his confident, getting on the edge, RPO, break contain, and then get that momentum where he's celebrating and then get back in and get into Josh McDaniels' rhythm. I think that if you're the 49ers or anybody else, you try to make him one-dimensional, beat you from that hula hoop in the pocket, and make him throw and make him throw confidently with accurate continuously. I think he... You know, it's such a different look from when Tom was there because their games are so different. But I think he's been better than average. I think he is still a scary weapon when he's going. But I also think that if you get him early and get him out of his game and make him chase, you could force a few turnovers. He's extremely dangerous when he's got both games working. So if I'm a defense, I would coordinate him. I'd say you cannot allow him to be two-dimensional. And if you make him be patient and take away the monster chunk plays, see if he can play horizontal like Tom was so good at. That's the key for them. If he plays horizontal football the whole time, can he be accurate enough to deliver the ball from that position in the pocket on a regular basis when you take away the big play? I think he's been better than average, but I think there's still more to his game, and there's going to have to be for the Patriots with all these opt-outs in this division.
Yeah, Sean, we were just talking about, like, if defensive coordinator, you know, they're a running football team. You can pack the box, keep an eye on Cam, and how do they beat you? So, in your opinion, this Patriots team who's 2-3 right now, are they a playoff team in the AFC?
The way Buffalo's coming back to the pack, Miami's going to start a quarterback that hasn't played started a game yet, and the Jets are the Jets. They blow. So yeah, there you have it. I think Buffalo will be better. I think they're the team to chase, but if you get to 9 wins, I think you're going to make the playoffs. And the question is, how healthy will he stay? Because, he takes punishment and he delivers punishment. And I'm with you. For me, it is not only to stack the box and take that away, but make him play patient. I love to see quarterbacks who are big play guys that love to find the first read and beat you. Go through progression one, progression two, stay patient, hang back, and then will you deliver the ball to three, and then use your legs as four. So I went into the season saying they weren't a playoff team. And so I'm not going to waffle and say, no, as I said, they were on the cusp, but probably missed out, even with the extension. But the way that the teams like the Texans are playing, they may be able to sneak in. But they're going to have to go on a run, and he's going to have to stay healthy. So I'll stick by my guns and say Buffalo wins the division and only one team makes it. But the Patriots have a chance if Newton goes, catches fire for sure.
We're talking to Sean Salisbury, our mystery guest today, and I wanted to ask you about the Texans. 1-5, huge payroll, franchise quarterback. They fire Bill O'Brien, but here's what stuns us up here in New England. Jack Easterby, when he was up here, he was kind of the team chaplain, a team motivator. How has he ascended to the point right now where he seems to be in control of everything for that organization?
It's a dumbass front office, horrible owner who has no clue. And while Bill had too much power to turn it over to Jack Easterby, well, you heard Deshaun Watson yesterday simply say, we're not trading anybody. We had a meeting after on the field with the fellas, and, hey, nobody getting traded here. So wait a minute. Is Easterby just, Deshaun, you're also Bill was the GM and the coach. Why don't we just make you the quarterback and the GM? I don't know, and I know this, that for me, if Jack Easterby is making the decisions going forward on who to hire as the GM, if he is the final decision, see, Cal McNair, the owner, now, it's one thing not to meddle. It's another thing not to even be a part of it. And so I don't think it was usually when Bill would tell him what's going on and tell him what the decisions were, not ask him, like, here's what we're doing. And somehow, some way, when you start off like he did, even though Bill won divisions, kind of lost the team, and they got a little too casual, shockingly, because Bill's a grinder. But Jack Easterby, because Bill put him in that position, and the irony of it, now Bill's out. There is no way that Jack Easterby can run this football organization. They've got to find a football guy who has power, but also doesn't answers to the owner, but hires a coach that coaches, and he stays out of that. There's got to be some division that goes on. If Jack Easterby is running this franchise and making all the decisions, I think the Texans not only are in trouble now, but in trouble going forward with a franchise quarterback and a monster payroll left sitting in their lap with no draft picks in the first round.
Hey, Sean, I know you're down there in Houston. I'm just curious. Obviously, the Astros, they get bumped here. But did you see, support? Was this like an Astros playoff run like you've seen in the past? Or are Astro fans not supporting this team? Or was it us against the world? What was it like?
This is the last part. You guys will be shocked. This is a football state, as you know. But I'm just telling you right now, they don't even want to talk about. They were a lot of people here didn't want Bill O'Brien around, so that had some legs for a couple days. It's shocking, but this is a baseball city. If the Texans are a playoff team and the Astros are charging the playoffs, they don't want to talk about the Texans most of the time. Now, the deep hardcore Texans fans, but they have the old us against the world, and there were some, you'll get the delusional ones that said, well, everybody was cheating, and maybe they were, but they have that, and then you get the ones that are rational that say, they cheated, they made their bed, they got to sleep in it. And then they get some that say, hey, we were better, and here's why we didn't lose, because, this pitcher was hurt, and this guy wasn't playing well. But no, they are – this is a through-and-through support, get after it, bummer. People are depressed when the Astros lose. If you ask them now, they'd all bring A.J. Hinch back and Jeff Luno. This is what they want here. They're more depressed when the Astros don't go to the World Series than they are when the Texans are 1-5, and that's a fact.
Did you say they wanted A.J. Hinch back?
Oh, they would take. I was being facetious, not the owner, but if you asked the team here, and media, and said if you could bring A.J. Hinch back, would you? They bring him back. They bring him back in a heartbeat. He's still more popular than Bill was or any football coach has been here. They love A.J. Hinch in this city. They do. And so this is an Astros town. Texans take a backseat to the Astros have since I've been in this town.
All right, real quick, last one.
Game.
Yeah, last one. Yeah, great. You got them going, huh? I mean, do you host your own show? Because, boy, I tell you what, there is one gear with you, and we love you for it. Would the Houston?
Only gear I got, brother.
Yeah, yeah, I know, I know. We love it. Hey, would the Houston Texans have the appetite for another Bill Belichick disciple as a head coach? I'm talking about Josh McDaniels. Do you think that would play out there?
Well, you know who's in charge, and just like we'd already talked about. Oh, I think it's very real that it'll be Josh McDaniels and somebody else like Bieniemy, or maybe Joe Brady in Carolina if people think he's ready, or, you know, Brian Daboll, one of the, there's no doubt. There's no doubt. Now, people here, now I know how hard it is to win because I couldn't win many, but they're, when you bring up the New England Patriots and bring in another Belichick disciple, people are bothered by it. Now you think, well, we'd love to have Bill. If you guys want to ship that Bill here, they'll take him. But, yeah, I think when you bring it up, McDaniel's name, they don't want to mention it for whatever reason, because they just don't trust it, I guess, from the history of some of the assistants going to be head coaches. But, no, they're craving Eric Bieniemy here. Now, they take Josh because of his success, but right now if you polled here, matter of fact, we'll put up a poll question next week on our show, and you watch, Josh will finish, if we put four up, he'll finish fourth just because of the Bill O'Brien effect that these fans did not like for whatever reason, even though he won, what, four division titles. So there's a very real possibility that Josh McDaniels could be the head coach here, and he's got a franchise quarterback, which I'm sure is a turn-on for any coach, or makes it a place of destiny for guys that want a good football player.
Fascinating. Great stuff. Sean Salisbury, our mystery guest this week. We appreciate it.
Guys, honored to be on with you, and I apologize for being a few minutes late. Thanks for your time.
Take your laps now. You. Go take your laps. Five. See ya.
Who is that?
Who are you?
Who can it be now?
Who is he?
Who the hell are you?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Hey, would the Houston Texans have the appetite for another Bill Belichick disciple as a head coach? I'm talking about Josh McDaniels. Do you think that would play out there?
Oh, I think it's very real that it'll be Josh McDaniels and somebody else like Bieniemy, or maybe Joe Brady in Carolina. No doubt. There's no doubt that people here, now I know how hard it is to win because I couldn't win many, but they're, when you bring up the New England Patriots and bring in another Belichick disciple, people are bothered by it because they just don't trust it, I guess, from the history of some of the assistants going to be head coaches.
Wouldn't it be something if Jack Easterby, who's in the power seat down there in Houston right now, ends up stealing Josh McDaniels away from Bill Belichick?
I tell you what, though, that was Sean Salisbury, by the way, our mystery guest, our very late mystery guest, but he was a mystery guest nonetheless, and he came on. I love Sean Salisbury. He can motor, can he?
Yeah.
I mean, he really should have a solo show no interruptions.
Brian Barrett used to be like his number three or four host on his show in Houston.
Oh, get out. Really?
Yeah, Brian Barrett was working with Sean Salisbury.
World's colliding now.
Barrett couldn't get a word in edgewise, I'm sure.
No, that's why he left.
I don't think that's going to happen. And Sean kind of mentioned it. He kind of touched on it. The fact that there's this stigma attached to this Bill Belichick coaching tree.
You've
already tried it. You've already done it. If you really want to try something new and see if it works, grab an ex-player. Do that. That's the tree you want to kind of start picking from. Not the coaches. So you're going to have Jack Easterby. You're going to have Romeo Crennel. You're going to have who didn't work either.
Really?
He was doing a bang
Bill
up
O'Brien.
Job. And then Bill O'Brien.
Right.
So you really want to go straight
like
to
Romeo
Josh
was
McDaniels?
The other guy you're going to mention. You're just like, dude, if you're Houston, you're like,
enough.
Go find another tree. Right? It hasn't worked. It hasn't really worked anywhere other than Vrabel, and he wasn't even a coach under him. He's a player, to your point. So Easterby, it wouldn't surprise me at all, right? If those guys were sitting and saying, Josh McDaniels is good, goes to ownership, he's our guy. The fan base, thinking more and more it's a bad spot for him. Because I don't think they take to it. I'm afraid it would almost start like Matt Patricia. Like right away, it just starts bad. You know, just
can't get out of his own way.
Like when Patricia went in there, they weren't happy that they fired what's his name? Was it Caldwell?
Yes.
They were 9-7. They weren't happy to have a new guy. Like you want a fan base or a franchise to be excited about bringing you in because they think you're the savior. Not with the initial attitude of, oh, we're trying this again.
You know who
it didn't work. What makes you think this is going to work? I'm out.
You know, the name that I keep bringing up that I think is far enough removed and has had enough success without Bill is the Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator, Brian Daboll.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been in a bunch of different places, went
still
back to college,
coach,
won a national championship. And I think a lot of it's going to be predicated on how the Buffalo Bills do, and more importantly, how Josh Allen does. So if he can kind of keep him going in the right direction, I do believe that his name would pop up. It'd be, and I don't know if Jack Easterby knows Brian Daboll. I'm not really sure about that one. But I can easily see Josh McDaniels, who is buddies with Brian Daboll, co-signing on it. I mean, that would be an easy fix. If you want a Bill Belichick guy that has proven that he can win without Bill Belichick, and it's not a player, grab him.
So the funny one is that the Houston Texans probably had the next great coach in the National Football League. They had him.
Oh, Vrabel?
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, they had him. And didn't recognize what he was. And you can look at Vrabel not only week to week and some of the moves he makes and personnel moves he makes, but he had an opportunity to get Tom Brady in the offseason. People thought he was crazy. We all did, giving that money to Ryan Tannehill. Ryan Tannehill has been great. He's been great. He made the right pick. That was a much smarter move than going with Tom Brady. And a lot of people thought he was foolish, remember?
Yeah, Tannehill is like, you know, and I don't know when it starts. Maybe it's this weekend, you know, because they're playing Pittsburgh, right? So all eyes are on this game, I would think. Maybe it's this weekend, you know, when the Tannehill segments start, you know, nationally, right? Like if he goes out there and just continues to do what he's done for basically the last calendar year, like at what point are you going to start sitting there saying, right now in this league, you got Mahomes, you got Russell Wilson, and you got Ryan Tannehill? Like, even right now, there's people saying that is a ridiculous statement. But if you show the numbers.
Let me give you the numbers.
In the last, 16 games, so, you know, like when he started to take over, they're just as good as Pat Mahomes, correct?
16 regular season starts, they're better. He has a completion of percentage of 70.2.
Jeez.
Almost 9 yards each play, 4,112 yards, 35 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, and number one in passer rating.
I mean, that's the last six since he's basically taken
that's
over from Mariota.
That's been since he started, 16 games.
Yeah.
Like, this
he's
been tremendous.
This guy is doing.
And you're right. He has not gotten that recognition. You
remember
know
last year we sat there and said, no chance. Tennessee, no chance. Because if you bottle up Henry, Tannehill can't get it done.
Yep.
And we kept saying that. But yet he kept performing. But yet we still kept saying it. And now this year, this will be the first game he actually has all of his wide receivers with him. You know, and he might lose his tight end, right? Smith might be down again, but he's been putting up those numbers this year without A.J. Brown, right? And then you got COVID. I think he lost Humphreys for a game or so, and then the other kid, he lost as well. So it's just these numbers. I mean, they're number one in the NFL the last 16 games, like big-time numbers.
Well, you brought this up earlier. We were talking about pocket quarterbacks versus guys who can run. He's basically a pocket quarterback who can run when he has to run.
Yeah.
And that's why he's so tough in the red zone, because he's a
real
threat in the red zone.
And he gets no love whatsoever.
Yeah.
By far, like, seriously, he's the most underrated player in football, correct?
I think he is right now. People are not talking about him.
No, they don't think he's, it's not that they don't think he's great and having a great year. They're not even sure if he's good. Like, if you just ask somebody on the street, what do you think of Tannehill? Nah. Because of the stink he has from Miami. That's
Adam,
why.
It's all Adam Gase's fault.
But he's so much better than good right now.
16 games, that's not a fluke. That's a big enough sample that you look at him and say, this is a really good quarterback. Talking about quarterback, Cam Newton is scheduled to talk down in Foxborough. Should be interesting. We will pick it up when he does head to the podium. And we'll do that hopefully real soon here on OMF.
I went up and I tried to talk to the head coach and say, look, can I get on the field? Can I play at any point? He's like, Cam Cameron. He's like, hey, Rob, look, we got the guys that we feel are giving us the best chance to win.
Is that Rob Ninkovich doing a Glenn Ordway?
Gosh. Yes, it was. You know what?
Guys on the field, it gives the best chance to win. And like, by the way, we cut that off, but Rob was like, we're 0-10. That team he's talking about was 0-10.
We got guys that we feel are giving us the best chance to win. And I was looked at him, I said, we're 0-10.
Guys.
It's amazing that everybody has an Ordway voice. And everybody's got a different one. Everybody's got a different one.
Well, yours is like some guy from the South.
Or, it changes. Yeah, it changes depending. Like, Mutt will come in here later on tonight, and his Ordway voice will be completely different than mine and Lou's and everybody else's. But they're all good.
Mutt's a little high pitch.
Just listen.
Yeah.
Talk to Hannah. We're going to do some advertising.
Yeah, he's got a high pitch.
So Sean Salisbury was talking.
Any time, shouldn't be kissing his kid like that.
Oprah does.
That's right, Oprah.
Yeah, she does my impression. Talking about Josh McDaniels, because this may be the year that Josh finally leaves. But so much of whether he gets an opportunity beyond the we're sick of having somebody from the Bill Belichick tree is your offense and your quarterback have to be good. So if Cam Newton can't get the job done this year. Do you think teams are going to look at Josh McDaniels and suddenly say, oh, look what he did with Ken. Yeah, let's get Josh McDaniels. You're married to your quarterback as an offensive coordinator and to that offense, aren't you?
Wouldn't you say, okay, you are. You 100% are. You got to tie to each other. And then indirectly the head coach, because he's really tied to his quarterback. So you really put a lot of faith in control with that quarterback coach / offensive coordinator because they usually are married together. But, yeah, but, I mean, in the beginning, we were like, oh, look how great, I mean, wow, Josh is doing a great job, excellent job. And if he can make this guy work, if he can resurrect Cam Newton's career and take his skill set and then just focus on that and make it shine, then, wow, it's not the Brady effect. It's not all Brady. It's not all Bill, because Bill has nothing to do with the real, you know, development of Cam Newton. I mean, he's meeting with them. I mean, they're talking, but Josh is coaching him. Josh has got the day-to-day routine. I mean, all the quarterbacks meet with Bill, you know, during the week.
But what if he
Josh
can't
is
do,
coaching him?
What if he can't do that? How are other teams going to look at it and say, they're going to look at Josh McDaniels and say a big part of his success was Tom Brady. And if he waits another year, what's to say whether it's Jarrett Stidham next year or Jimmy Garoppolo or whatever, and they fail? Then where's Josh?
Here's the thing. The great quarterbacks overcome their coaching when it's bad. Like, they overcome it. They're great. So, I mean, they self-correct. They get you into a good play. They make the offensive coordinator look great. And then he's overvalued. But, you know, but the great coordinator will just, you know, improve it and, you know, and make it better. Well, and then you'll be elite.
I always felt like Josh waiting, you know, these next year or two is very, very risky. You know, I mean, his stock was very high. He's got a great quarterback, great offenses. Brady leaves, it's very risky. You know, it's like... high reward, just a lot of risk. I mean, again, after the first 2 or 3 weeks, we'd say, good God, look at Josh McDaniels running a completely type of a different offense with a completely different quarterback, and he's getting the production he's getting from Cam after Seattle, you know what I mean? And then Oakland, it's like, oh, now we run the football. The 3 games, 3 different offensive approaches. You know, but you're right, and that's where the reward is. Because now all of a sudden he elevates himself. But if things start to go a little bit south here, and then I don't know, because I think a lot of teams will sit there and say, well, I don't know. I mean, you know, Cam's just kind of like what he is, right? Like, a lot of teams passed up on Cam. Glenn, you've always talked about it. And they might turn around and say, well, that's why we passed up on him. You know, because physically, look, he's on to throwing some guys. It takes a lot for him to throw the football right now. You know, big windup, dropping that back shoulder. Maybe the shoulder's still bothering him, or... you know, or whatever. So does Josh sort of have an out because other people look at it and say, well, Cam's just not the same guy he was a few years ago.
He could. On the other hand, if your quarterback is really good or you resurrect this quarterback, Cam Newton, people are going to look at Josh McDaniels and say, look at what he just did with Cam Newton. He's getting something out of Cam Newton. So there's another question that was floating out there of Julian Edelman. We spent a lot of time talking about it. And why isn't Julian Edelman more involved in the offense? Well, Josh answered that question.
The best way to play offense is for everybody to contribute and to find ways for everybody to contribute. And that's certainly my job. And, you know, I'm going to try to do the best I can to get him involved, but also, you know, try to get production from all the skill positions on the field, you know, whether it's our receivers, our backs, our tight ends. You know, certainly Julian's always a big part of what we want to try to do. And I need to do a good job of trying to get him going. I think in the grand scheme of things, you know, we just, you know, all of us need to do our jobs well and try to get contributions from everybody to be the most effective we can be.
I respect the fact that he's taking it all on himself, and he says he's got to find ways of getting Julian Edelman involved. Does anybody really believe that that's the reason Julian Edelman is not that productive right now? It's because he's beaten up, right?
Well, I think that's, I mean, he's playing. So we can only take that he's beaten up so far. He's playing, he's suiting up, he's practicing. So I don't know how many more times I can use, or anyone can should really use, the whole he's beat up as a reason why he's not involved in the offense. I mean, he's involved in the offense. I mean, he's just not, it's not because he's beat up. He can run. He is doing some, he is avoiding contact a little bit more, but maybe that's kind of camouflage. Maybe that's because of the small opportunity and sample size that we've seen. We saw him go off. He had a career day about 4 weeks ago. What changed since then? Did he get more hurt? Did he get more inflammation? Did he get more sore? Did he decide, I can't practice at all? Did he decide he didn't want to play at all? Or is he sad that he's not in Tampa and he's taking it out on the Patriots? He misses buddies. One. I mean, I feel like that's probably
like a puppy dog. Like a
but
sad
that's not,
puppy dog.
We can't say he's hurt anymore. Why he's not? Playing. He's running around, catching passes.
Look at his age. And, look at his age.
Stop. Please, give me a break.
What are you talking about? Troy Brown's game went south a year or two before that.
Okay,
same
so
thing
fine.
With Wes
so,
Welker.
Lou, I mean, Glenn, it's fine. He can't run away from anybody anymore. Like, he can't, like, break. He never was that guy anyways. He was short area quickness, finding voids, finding holes. And what made him better was that the quarterback put him in great positions
and this
to
guy
make
can't
plays.
Do this guy
I think
do
that's part of it.
See, yeah, I don't know if it was the
so let's not act like yeah. he's just because he's hurt.
But the quarterback putting him in great, you know, situation to succeed. That, well, we're back to the whole thing. Like, he's only good because of his quarterback. But I just think the two of them were, like, on such same page that there's, you know, when Edelman's out there reading the defenses and it's just a route where he's got to read the defender and leverage and all these things, like, he and Tom are on such the same page that there's a window that he is open, right? And maybe that's just what we're seeing with Cam. Nobody thought it was going to be perfect with these two right away. And maybe Cam sort of loses that window or misses that window to where Edelman is open. You know, and now all of a sudden Edelman's scrambling to try to get open. So he was the one guy we could talk about precision offense, trust, knowing what a guy, knowing they're on the same page. That's Julian Edelman and Tom Brady.
Okay, so when you put Cam Newton into that position as quarterback, he's not the same type of thrower
no.
that Tom Brady
is. So maybe
is.
That window when he's open is missed.
Right. That's
it's
it.
Missed.
That's a big part of it. Then you're wasting your time with Julian Edelman here.
So, I mean, so you know, when the water rises, all the ships rise with it. You know, when it goes down, they all decrease. They all go down. Well, everybody's affected
like
by it. Yes,
yeah.
You know, everybody's deep. Affected by it. I can't see how, you know, no one is going to, like, the whole, like, we, you, it's like, sometimes fans won't accept the fact that this has nothing to do with, you know, Julian Edelman being banged up or hurt. Yeah, he is. You know, I'm sure he's got a lot of sores. I know, you know, I'm sure his knees are killing him. The fact is that he's playing and he's out there. So I can't say, well, why didn't he get open? Oh, because his knees hurt. Because he's sore.
So I just saw this too, talking about the passing attack. Dov Kleiman tweeted this out from Next Gen NFL stat kind of guy. Excluding week two against a bottom-ranked Seattle passing defense, the Patriots' passing attack has been terrible. The completion percentage is 46.9. One touchdown, four picks. Passer rating of 46.5, according to Next Gen stats. So, like, that one game, that outlier of a game, Seattle, in which they're giving up over 400 yards passing just about a game?
397.
Oh, my God.
And the rest of the
46.9 completion percentage and a quarterback right. rating of 46.5.
I don't think we even needed to see those statistics to know what we're
but
watching
here. But it does
here.
Punch you in the face.
It does. 140, 150 yards passing each game. You're not going to win a lot of games doing that, guys. If you are, it's going to be against the team that can't stop the run, and it's going to be because Cam Newton is running for 70 or 80 yards. That's the only way you're going to win those games. To me, I still am really concerned about this passing game. I don't think you can win in the National Football League without having a productive passing game.
Which is why I say Cam Newton has two more weeks. Two more. He's got two more weeks. Okay, last year you can make...
You may be right about this.
Yeah, last week you can make the excuse, right? He was off the week, whatever, 2 weeks off. I get it. But, you know, Christian, you broke down the film. Like, the wide receivers, like, it was pretty glaring. Chatham tweeted out a bunch of these things, like 15, 20 plays, where it's just like, look, here he is. Look, this guy's open. Look, this guy's open. Cam's looking over here when this guy's open. And so Bill Belichick is seeing the same stuff. Josh McDaniels is seeing the same stuff. And if it continues after a week of practice against San Fran, if it continues against Buffalo, and maybe you split and find a way to win one of them, God forbid you lose two of them, the perfect time to make a change and not ask your quarterback to do too much to get his feet underneath him is against the Jets, which is who they play in 3 weeks. The Jets. So Cam Newton, 2 weeks, San Fran, Buffalo. You look like you did in the last two starts. Jared Stidham will start against the New York Jets.
Okay, well, so you're assuming he's just going to play terribly. You think he's going to... I don't think he's going to play terribly on Sunday. I actually think the entire team, especially the offense, is going to play... Well, I mean, it's just...
How do you do against Vegas?
What do you mean, how do they do it against Vegas?
Cam.
He didn't have a great game, but the offense figured it out.
He ran the ball.
They figured it out.
So Bill, I think, to me, sits there, and I think as a defensive coordinator, looks at his team... Just like he did, you know, the sound of 2009. They stop Moss, they step Walker underneath. We can't move the football. I think if teams start to defend this team with eight-man front, eight men in the box, and they don't let Cam kind of beat them with their legs, and that's the way it looks for the next week or two, Bill's going to sit there and say, why am I playing this guy? They're taking it away now. We can't move the football with him.
Well, to me, I don't think that's going to happen. I still think he gives you the best option to win, and I am burying the football, the Cam Newton Denver Bronco football. I don't think he's that bad. I don't think I've ever seen him play a game that bad. Okay, difficult circumstances, I get it. Lots of adversity. Hey, you got to rally, right? Rally. He's not that bad. I don't think he's an accurate passer. I think it was, man, it was just, you know, the worst thing I had seen.
I don't think he's that bad either. But if he's that, or if he was what against the Raiders, he should make the move.
The Raiders, he'll keep his job. He'll keep his job if he plays like he did against the Raiders.
And just hands the ball off? Why can't Stidham do that?
But you know, Christian, you know what teams are going to do. They're watching the last couple games. They're going to bring everybody up. They're going to put people in the box. They're going to sit there and say, the one guy we have to stop if we want to beat the Patriots is Cam Newton.
Agreed.
That's it. We don't have to worry as much about the receivers. He's not an accurate passer. We have to make sure we don't let him take over the game. And then he gets emotional, and now it jacks everybody up. We got to get him out of that rhythm. If they do that, he's one-dimensional. I'm not sure he can.
Don't let him get emotional. Don't get emotional. Like he's going to start crying on the field.
All right, so he's due up in about 10 minutes. So we're going to go down to Foxborough in about 10 minutes, and we'll hear from Cam Newton. This hour has been brought to you by Northeast Men's Health. Locations in Salem, New Hampshire, and Dedham, next to Legacy Place. We'll hear from Cam, and we'll also go through who was the quarterback for the New England Patriots on opening day in 2021. All three of the candidates may be on the field this Sunday.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.